Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 19. And I believe we start with 38, right? Jyotikarma Prabhu, he's the official verse keeper over there. Yeah, I really did not schedule myself to give class today. I thought Chandramouli Maharaj would be here. It was a little miscommunication between myself and Suvas Prabhu. Apparently he's arriving today, not that he was going to give class today. So I'm a little bit unprepared. Please bear with me. But as I always tell all of you, you have to be ready to speak this philosophy at a moment's notice. So no excuses. Okay, who's speaking? Who's speaking? Shukracharya, yes. So, is whatever Shukracharya says to be taken as Shastra? It's in the Shastra, but not necessarily to be taken as Shastra, right? Because in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochita Kaita, we're kicking out cheating religion, but here he seems to be propounding some cheating advice to his. So, all right. I think there's no purport to this 38. Let me just check to make sure, and then I'll have to do 39. Yeah, okay. So I'll just recite 38. Remember, you don't have to repeat. Bhrigupati went through this yesterday. I'm just going to recite by myself, okay? Atrapi bhavrachaya gitam shinume surasattama. Satyamo mityat proktam yannetyahan tritam hitat. So Shukracharya is saying to Bali Maharaj, one might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse? O best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of the Pavritsha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not. Interesting. Then I think this one has a purport, so we can recite this together. Okay. Satyam pushpapalam vidyad atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshe jivati tan na syad anritam Moolam Atmanaha Satyang Pushapalang Vidyad Atma Vrikshasya Giyate Vrikshe Jivati Tanna Syad Anritang Moolam Atmanaha Satyang Pushapalang Vidyad Atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshe jivati tanna syad anritang moolam atmanaha satyang pushapalang vidyad atma vrikshasya giyate vrikshe jivati tanna syad Anritang Moolam Atmanaha. Please chant. Satyang Pushapalang Vidyad Atma Vrikshasya Giyate Vrikshe Jivati Tannasyad Anritang Moolam Atmanaha Satyang Pushapalang Vidyad Atma Vrikshasya Giyate Ikshayjivatitanasyad Anritang Mulamatmanaha. Alright, since the men are shy today, ladies, go for it. Satyang Pushapalang Vidyad Atma Vrikshasya Giyate Vrikshayjivatitanasyad Anritang Mulam Atmanaha. Prikshe jivatitanasyad Anritang mulavatmanaha Satyang pushvam halam vidyad All right, synonyms. Oops, went too far. Satyam, the factual truth. Pushpapalam, the flower and the fruit. Vidyat, one should understand. Atmavrikshasya, of the tree of the body. Giyate, as described in the Vedas. Vrikshe ajivati, if the tree is not living, tat, that, and it refers to pushra palam, which we heard earlier on means the flower and the fruit. Na, not. Syat, is possible. Anritam, untruth. Mulam, the root. Atmanaha, of the body. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. So this sounds like a very involved Buddhist koan or something like that, but properly explained. Please repeat. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. This shloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. The Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. The spirit soul is truth and the external energy is untruth. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with the Mayavadi philosophy. Even if, for the sake of argument, the material world is accepted as untruth, the living entity entangled in the illusory energy cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the flower and fruit, pusha phalam, have to be obtained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy, therefore, recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one can thoroughly study the Vedic instructions, and thus, at the end of life, one can achieve perfection. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 861. Everything is examined at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary, not eternal, one can take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. So, Om Gyana Timurandasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagna Raghunathan Vatam Tangsajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vatamscha He Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dhina, Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Haripriye, Vancha, Kopaturubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhubhya, Evacha, Patitanang, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo, Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Dhananda, Shri Advaita, Kadadhar, Shivas, Adi, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So recently, I think yesterday or the day before, Suvasa was reading as he does in the morning, which is a very excellent program to hear this philosophy first thing in the morning. It's the best time. I mean, I always like, my hair stand on end when I hear him reading in the morning. I don't know about you, but it wakes me up. So just 2 days ago, he read a verse from the second chapter, or the first chapter of the second canto. You know, the first canto practically is just setting the scene for the Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit gets cursed, and then, Sutta Goswami is interacting with the sages. And at the end of the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit is asking his question, which is going to be answered by his guru, Shukadeva Goswami. So he's asking, what is the duty of someone who's about to die? And Shukadeva Goswami begins by glorifying him for asking the question, Gariyaneshate Prashna. Kritaloko Jananrpa. He says that this question is glorious because the answer is beneficial for all living beings. Then he describes the situation of the householders. You know those verses. But then the verse that Suvas recited that made me remember that whole chapter. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtatavyasya Smartavya Chetasobhayam. And there's another variation of the verse later on, actually, in that same section. Deyak Pujak Sanitida. That's how that. Everything else is the same except for that last line. Deyak Pujak Sanitida. So, anyway, the point is Tasmad, therefore, he's giving, it seems, the conclusion already to everything. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, O sign of Bharata, Sarvatma, the super soul, Bhagavan, everybody knows, possessor of all opulence, Ishvara, he is the controller of everything, Harihi, he takes away everything, because it belongs to him anyway. There's no question of Krishna taking, it all belongs to him, but superficially it seems like Krishna comes and takes things away. Shotavya Kirtitavyascha. This is the point. One has to hear about. Everything begins with hearing. Many of us say we came because of getting a book. But that book is simply recorded kirtan. Literally, because Prabhupada spoke his books. He didn't sit down and write them. He spoke them into a dictaphone and then they were transcribed. So it just gives us a graphic example of how this is recorded kirtan. So we came by hearing. As soon as you open that book and you read one word, you're hearing from Srila Prabhupada. So that hearing from the pure source is what attracted us to come. Hearing. It cuts through all the ignorance of countless births. Immediately it pierces the heart. And I mean, that's the effect it had on me. I had just, first thing I got was Reservoir of Pleasure. And just the first sentence just grab me. Krishna, that sound is transcendental. Krishna means the highest pleasure. Boom. As Balaram would say, dang. Prabhupada grabbed me right away. So we're hearing from the pure source, and it cuts through all the ignorance, and it wakes us up. Even if just for a moment, you wake up, you actually begin to experience yourself for what you are, a spiritual being. So it seems that at this point, Shukadev Goswami has already given the conclusion, the answer to everything. So why go on for all the other cantos? Now we're in the eighth canto. We're hearing, you know, Bali Maharaj, and Shukacharya is trying to find some loopholes in the Shastra. You know, he's like a Vedic lawyer, you know, you could say. He's trying to find loopholes. Because Bali Maharaj already said he wanted to give Vamanadeva whatever he wants. Ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you. After all, I'm in possession of the three worlds, I can give you whatever you want. Now, his guru, Shukacharya, is advising him how to get out of the promise. So he's trying to find loopholes. This is one of the main reasons why lawyers exist. To find loopholes in the law, either the criminal law, or the civil law, or the IRS law. They're always looking, tax law, they're always looking for some loophole that the clients can wiggle through. So here it seems that Shukacharya is doing the same thing. He's looking for loopholes. So he said, first of all, in the previous verse, that if you make a promise, but if you don't chant Om, then you can wiggle out. So, he's highly learned, Shukacharya. He's not a fool. But he's, at this point, misusing his intelligence out of fear for his own existence. That if Bali Maharaj is dethroned, defeated, driven out, then how am I going to live? So I have to find a way to get... He even calls him directly a rascal. You're a rascal for promising to give anything to Vishnu because he's going to take everything. So he's desperately looking for a way to get Bali Maharaj out of the situation. So the first thing is, yes, I know that you made a promise, but according to... And he quotes one Shastra. What was the name of that Shastra? Previous verse. Interesting. The Bhavritsya Shruti. According to the Bhavritsya Shruti, if you make a promise but you don't precede it by the word Om, then you can get out of it. So, again, trying to get Bali Maharaj out of the situation. Now, he's speaking this verse that seems like a great riddle. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. Okay, pretty clear. You have a body, but what you do with it is what makes a difference. And we know, just like we say, money is neither good or bad. It's how you spend it that makes a difference. It's the same thing. Every one of us has been given this particular body based on our karma. Karma na daiva naitrena, jantor jaya rupateya. Everybody's given a body based on their previous activity, and by the will of providence, you're given a particular body. Not anybody else's body. You got the body that you deserve with all its pluses and its myriad of minuses. Everybody's body has that. We all look in the mirror, even when we're in our 60s, as I am currently, and you still think you see things that are, it's not bad, it's not okay, but then there are other things that make you go, oh my God, what happened to that? Everything deteriorates with time. Like now I barely sing, but when I was a boy, I was in a choir. I used to sing sweetly. I remember that voice. Where did that voice go? Just like recently we celebrated Christmas, and Prabhupada was actually very fond of Lord Jesus Christ, as he said. One time somebody blessed him in the name of Christ, and Prabhupada said, thank you. He said, I want to be blessed by Christ, to be just like him, to preach in spite of all opposition. So, anyway, so the body's been given. What we do with it will determine what kind of fruits and flowers we derive from it, how we utilize this body. But if the bodily tree does not exist, meaning you've put yourself in danger now, he's telling Bali Maharaj, you've put yourself in danger by making this promise. So if it does not exist, there's no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. In other words, if you want to continue being Because, you know, in the Vedic times, those who were the Chachas, even the bad guys, like Jarasandha, they had some sense of charity and chivalry. So they saw themselves as the maintainers of their kingdoms. Which is not actually factual when you get down to the bottom line. Krishna is maintaining everybody. But they at least felt that way. They felt obligated. Recently we heard a story of Shibi Maharaj. I won't repeat that. But they felt like that. That anybody who takes shelter of me, I have to take care of them. And they were willing to put their lives on the line to achieve that. So Shukracharya is saying that if you don't have a body, how are you going to benefit anyone? Even if the body is based on untruth. So why would we say the body is untruth? We have this body. We experience it every day. The senses are interacting with the sense objects. It seems very factual. And it is. And this is the point that Prabhupada makes in the purport. That this body is factual. But the reason why we may say it's untruth is because it's temporary. It doesn't last. The example I like to use is, again, if you live on a block and there's an empty lot. So you go to work in the morning. You pass that empty lot. But while you're gone, one of these, you know, home building crews come in and they build a house from scratch. And, you know, so the house is factual. It's there. But it was just a demonstration. And by the end of the day, they've torn it down. So when you come back, the lot is still empty. So if somebody tells you that a house is there, you go, hey, get out. What house are you talking about? But the house was factual. It was built. It was there for some time, even if it's just for a few hours, and then they tore it down. So it's not untruth in the sense that it does not exist or never existed. It's untruth in the sense that it is not permanent. So it's the same thing with all of our bodies. We have to agree. Everybody has a birth date, and therefore it's going to have a death date. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, right? Jatasihi janma dhruvor janma mrityusya. That for one who has taken birth, death is certain. So that's another reason why Shukracharya should not be worried. Because even if Bali Maharaj was not killed by Vishnu, he's going to die anyway. He's got a material body. So even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Again, his preaching here is being fueled by fear for his own situation. That, you know, if you rascal, you put your neck on the line now, and if Vishnu takes away everything, Vamanadeva takes everything, then how are you going to maintain yourself or me or anybody else? But maintenance, ultimately, again, is enacted by the Supreme Lord. It's not. And this is another way that as Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, we show that we're not bewildered. Prabhupada used that example of how one who is not learned is bewildered in this arena of maintenance. The communists, Prabhupada, the story that when they first took over, you know, a lot of the people were still religious in Russia. You know, they were coming from a religious society, Russian Orthodox Church, etc. So the communists wanted to stamp out this religious idea. So they would go to a village, they would round them all up and say, go to your church, we're going to lock the door, and you pray to your God for bread. We'll see what happens. So they would round them up, lock them up in the church, wait a few hours, open the door. Did you pray for bread? Yes, communist comrade, yes. And so where is the bread? We don't see any bread. Then they would whistle and the trucks would come. Open the doors. Trucks are loaded with bread. Take as much bread as you want. And then they would say, so who's better? Your God or the Communist Party? Oh, you're better, communist comrade bread. So Prabhupada would say, they're so ignorant. They should ask them, where did you get the bread from? You can't make bread in your factory. Bread is given by God. The seed of the wheat is given by God. The rain and the sunshine that makes it grow is given by God. The intelligence to harvest it properly and grind it into flour, that's also given by God. The whole show is God-driven. But those who are ignorant, they allow themselves to be fooled that Communist Party is maintaining you, or my husband is maintaining me, or my wife is maintaining. No, Krishna is maintaining you. Nobody else. Krishna. So this is the first thing that the first sign of real God consciousness awakening in the heart is that you have this understanding, Krishna, God is maintaining me. And therefore, you reciprocate. It's natural. If you feel that your boss is maintaining you, then you naturally want to reciprocate with your boss. If you feel that your husband or wife is maintaining you, then you naturally want to reciprocate nicely with them. But if you understand clearly that God is maintaining me, Krishna is maintaining me, then you naturally want to reciprocate with Krishna. So this is the beginning of real God consciousness. After all, we all have to eat. We all have to eat. You must eat. You must breathe air. All these essential things are coming from Krishna. And we really have to allow it to sink in. Otherwise, it's easy to gloss over it. You just go on breathing and eating and not even thinking about it. So this is the beginning of God consciousness. I am dependent, first of all. Even if I'm thinking that I'm this body, the body is dependent on air, water, food. So Krishna says, Rasoham apsukanteya prabhajmi sachisuryo. Every time you drink water, think of me that I'm the taste of that water. Every time you see the sun and the moon. Pranava sarvavedeshu. I am the Omkar. You like to chant Om. That's me. Shabdake, I'm the sound in ether. Porushamnarshu, extremely important. I am the ability in man. Every one of us has some ability that we consider unique. There may be other artists, but my art is unique. Right? There may be other designers, but my designs are unique. There may be other singers, but the way I sing is unique. And we all think that we're unique in some way. But where is this ability coming from? Krishna. Comes from Krishna. So it's another way that we are, if we are conscious, that we readily reciprocate with Krishna. My dear Lord, you've given me this task to design this thing or to paint this painting or to sing in this Kirtan Mela. But I know the ability is coming from you, so please thank you very much and please, by your mercy, hopefully it'll all go right. So yes, we have this Kirtan Mela coming up, extremely important. It immediately made me think of a lot of verses that glorify the chanting of the holy name. And we don't have a lot of time, we'll just share a few like in the purport. Let's see, made me think of one. Prabhupada talks about, what was that that triggered? He said, there was a phrase here. Yeah, here. He says that the living entity entangled in illusory energy. So, who knows what verse I'm thinking of? This is from the first chapter of the first canto. Apana sangsutim goram yannama vivashokiran tataksadyo vimucheta yadbibeti swayambayam. Living entities who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even once chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So, this is the benefit of our kirtan. Every day we're doing our kirtan. Now we're going to have a kirtan mela. So we should meditate like this. That this chanting has the power to liberate, to take us out of the complicated meshes of birth and death. And the holy name of Krishna is so powerful that it is feared by fear personified. And then, from the same portion of the Bhagavatam. Yeah. Etan nirbhijamananam ichatam akatobayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harinam eva kevalam. So it says, Etavan, that beginning with this, if you, Etan nirbhijamananam, if you fall into any of these categories, nirbhijamananam ichatam akatobayam yoginam nirpanirnitam. He says that if you're in the yogi category, if you're in the category of ichatam, you want everything that you see, gimme, 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 or you're totally detached from everything, nirbhijamananam, it is already concluded that this chanting of the holy names is a doubtless and fearless way of success for everyone, no matter which category you fall in. So this is why we not only have a kirtan mela inside today and tomorrow, but tomorrow morning we're going to take it outside to the Rose Parade, right? That's being organized. Yes? We're going to have a Harinam at the Rose Parade? Yes, I think so. Be bundled up, be warned, forewarned. It's very cold. Last year, Rose Parade was 75 degrees. This year, they're saying it's going to be the coldest since 1952. Maybe even set a record. It's going to be in the 40s. So if you do go out tomorrow on that Harinam and the Rose Parade, please bundle up. And so people are already disappointed because they come from all over the country, practically all over the world, for this Rose Parade, and they're expecting sunny, you know, bright, sunny, warm day. And now it's predicted it's going to be gray and cold. So they're already upset. They're coming to try to enjoy these floats that go by. But little do they know is that Krishna's gathered them in that spot so they can hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the whole point. All of their gorgeous material arrangement is useless if they don't come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's movement. Now we're going to be beginning a new year. According to them, it's going to be 2015. But according to our calendar, we're still in the year. Who knows? What year is it, Lord Chaitanya's calendar? 528 Gorabda. It doesn't change again until Gorpurnim comes and it'll be 529. So we're in 528 by our calendar. And the significance is that we're 528 years into the 10,000-year golden period that we're going to experience in the Kali Yuga, in which the Harinam is going to be prominent. That is what the golden age means. It's the age when Krishna in his Nam avatar is prominent to deliver everyone, because there's no other way, no other way, no other way to deliver them. There is no other way. They don't have the intellectual chops to sit down and discuss Vedanta. They don't. They're not interested. And even if they try, they don't have the wherewithal to do it. They're totally impious. They can't see clearly. That's what Kali Yuga does. The ignorance becomes so thick that you can't see clearly. Just as mentioned today, the body. I have a body, so if you pinch me, I feel pain. So, and naturally, if you're conscious, if I pinch anybody else, they're going to feel pain. We have experience. Even an animal, you step on its tail, they have consciousness. They have feelings, just like we do. So why do we think we can cut? You know, if my liver goes a little bit off, I want a liver transplant or a kidney transplant or whatever. But for the animals, no, we cut them open and eat their livers. It's just crazy. Ignorance. So that kind of ignorance and craziness can only be stamped out by spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna. Without chanting, they don't understand philosophy anyway. Prabhupada said that once. He was here in the morning walk. It was 75, I was here, but I didn't go on that particular morning walk. But Prabhupada was walking, and one devotee said, you know, Prabhupada, you know, as soon as we tell them about the principles, they don't want, and Prabhupada stopped, and he actually slammed his cane and said, why are you surprised? He said, you're preaching to cats and dogs. He said, you make them fortunate by giving them the chanting of Hare Krishna, by giving them prasadam. When they become a little fortunate, then they can understand. Otherwise, it's not possible. So this is why we go out and chant. This is why we go out and distribute the books. This is why we go out and distribute prasadam, to make people fortunate. So we should understand. We are all living here in New Dwarka in the spiritual embassy. Very, very fortunate position that we're in. And from that position, we can assist Krishna's pure devotee in helping others. That's another mistake that we make sometimes. We think that I am going to go out and preach, I'm going to go out and help. You can't do anything. Prabhupada also spoke about that. One devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, when I preach, and Prabhupada cut him off immediately. What do you mean when you preach? I am preaching. So we should never forget that. It keeps us humble. If you think that I'm a preacher, I'm going to go out, I'm taking the book bag, I'm taking the car. No, you're not doing anything. You're helping Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote the books. Without Prabhupada's books, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to present? Your life's experience? You know, who cares? I'm not making it up. Literally, you know, nobody cares about what you went through. It's Prabhupada's, the knowledge that Prabhupada is giving in those books, that's what's important, not you, me, or anybody else. So if we go out in that mood, chant Hare Krishna in that mood, and spread the knowledge in that mood, then we have a chance of being successful. Otherwise, we actually become, we actually obscure what Prabhupada is trying to present. if we put ourselves in the way. We're meant to be transparent, just like it says a guru is a transparent by a medium for the knowledge that's coming from Krishna. So when we go out, we're also supposed to be transparent representatives of Srila Prabhupada, not presenting our own situation and so-called understanding. What do we understand? You know, if you chant for a few years, all glories to you, but this is an eternal occupation. It's a long haul. Prabhupada said the chanting is the means and the chanting is the goal. You know, I've been chanting for so many years, you know, give me accolades. And no, it's a forever occupation. We're never going to stop chanting. Okay, we can stop here. A few minutes for any questions, comments. Thank you for your kind attention. Balaram had the hand up first. Keep it short. No fast forward, no rewind. Okay.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. The Mayavadis have a crusade to really deride the form, and there is a humility of Buddhists. They will say that I am nothing, but that is not the same humility as Vaishnavas. As Vaishnavas, we are the servant. We are Krishna Das. So
no, we're not Krishna Das.
We're the servants of the servants.
Yes.
But just to be on a personal platform, that this verse touches on the body. They're trying to get rid of the form, and Prabhupada is saying, no, this form, this body is what is. It's not ours. It's Krishna's, and we're doing it as a medium to serve Krishna. Is that a right way to look
Hare
at
Krishna,
it?
Definitely. The body is a gift from Krishna, and we use it in his service. That's what ultimately Yukta Vairagya means, a proper reference. Okay, I think this the brahmachari here. I don't need a name. What is your name? Dasya Prem Das. Hare Krishna. You have a question?
This rose parade that's coming up, all these people are coming from all over the place, and we'll also be there. So in terms of like things happening by chance, can we see that that's just they're all like in the modes of material nature and we're just taking advantage of it? Or it's like that Krishna kind of arranged these people to come and because they're ready in a sense, and then we're going to be there to, you know,
Krishna's the master arranger. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhesya arjuna chiste brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. Krishna says, I'm sitting in everybody's heart and I'm directing their wanderings of the living entity who's sitting on this yantra. So we think that I'm deciding to go here and there and do that. Yes, to a certain degree, based on the mode of nature you have, but it's all the arrangements are being made by Krishna. So Krishna puts them in a place where they can get some agyata sukriti. Just by hearing the Harinam, they make spiritual advancement. You see? And even if they plug the ears, as I say many times, by the time they do that, it's too late. It already went in. So Krishna is giving them a chance to have some agyata sukriti just by hearing. And some of them will immediately catch fire and want to know, what is this? And, you know, come over and... And others, they'll take it away with them and it'll stay. But everybody benefits by hearing the Harinam. And it's not by accident. Everything is arranged so minutely that we can't even begin to understand. Every atom that we're fascinated about, the electrons are going this way. Everything is under control. Everything is under control. Before Prabhupada left, one of the last things that he said was, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. So if you just meditate on that, whatever's going on, Krishna is completely in control of that situation. Of course, that raises confusion that Radha Kripa was talking about yesterday. If Krishna is in control, then why is there evil and why doesn't he stop it? Because they're not seeing the big picture. The main thing they're missing is that you, as a living entity, are eternal. So no matter what so-called misery you're going through right now, it's not going to last eternally. You're going to be given another chance to extricate yourself because you continue to exist. That's the main point they're missing. Once you understand that, then you can understand how the punishment, again, is not eternal, and Krishna is actually purifying you so that you can make advancement. All right, we can stop here. Grantarachimit Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.